Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to be in Jeremiah 28 tonight. It's nice to see you out. If you'd open your Bibles there, please, to Jeremiah chapter 28. Now, this is a chapter that is connected to the chapter we looked at last week. You remember that Jeremiah was told by God that he was to take yokes and put on yokes and wear them, and they did, to basically communicate that Israel was going to be subject to the Babylonians, and she was to submit herself to them. So this will be a text tonight that's connected to that. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you for the things that the scriptures teach. I pray that you would minister to us, Lord, through the scriptures. We thank you for them in this world that is so chaotic and fickle. It is so good that we have the sure word of God that we can turn to, and we can believe, and we can allow it to affect the way we are. And I pray it would do that, and we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name, amen. When the Apostle Paul took the grace gospel to the Galatian region, the people responded, and they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were saved. And just as soon as Paul left the area of Galatia, those false teachers moved in right behind him to mix law and works into grace. So just as soon as Paul was done presenting truth, here came those phony ministers trying to pollute it. And as you'll see, the same kind of thing is going to happen here to Jeremiah. Where there is Jesus Christ, there is an Antichrist. Where there is a Calvin, there is an Arminius. Where there is a Luther, there is an Erasmus. There will always be someone that will rise up, that they're not in tune with truth. In fact, they're opposed to truth. And certainly you see that in tonight's text. Now, by way of recap, we may recall that in chapter 27, God told Jeremiah, take a yoke and wear it as an illustration that God's will for my people is that they submit themselves and put themselves under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. It was the responsibility of Jeremiah to put that yoke on himself, make the yoke, put it on him. Two pieces were to go around his neck and shoulder area, and he was to go and tell Zedekiah the king and also the envoys that were there talking to Zedekiah from other nations that God told his people that they were to submit to the Babylonian king. And if they were willing to do that, if they were willing to put themselves under willing subjection and submission to the Babylonian king, not only would they live, but God would bless them. But he warned them, if you don't obey me, and if you don't submit to my word and will, you're going to die. And he proclaimed that to the people, the priests, the prophets. He proclaimed that to the envoys. In fact, he said, take that message back to the other kings of the area and tell them that. Tell them if they submit to the will of God and word of God, they'll live. If they don't submit to the word of God, they're going to die. Now, a lot of that Jeremiah was doing was not only in the king's presence, but it was also in the temple area. And in that temple area, there were false prophets and teachers that were listening to that. You remember last time Jeremiah said, don't listen to those false teachers. They're not leading you in a right way. Don't listen to what they have to say. He warned the people. And they've been telling the people just the opposite of what Jeremiah was saying. They'd been telling the people that they didn't need to submit to the Babylonians. That's a bunch of lies. They were telling the people that they were at peace with God. God would never hurt his own people. God would never destroy the temple in Jerusalem. Nothing bad would ever happen to them. Now, listening to all of this and watching all of this was a prophet whose name was Hananiah. He spotted Jeremiah wearing that yoke, and he listened to what he had to say. He was one of those false prophets that was hanging around the temple area. He was telling lies to people. He was one of the false ministers who was telling the people they had nothing to worry about. He was the one who has promoted the idea God will not do anything negative to his people. This temple area is sacred. He's never going to let it go down. He did not like what Jeremiah was doing. He did not like what Jeremiah was saying. So he takes this to a whole nother level. A whole nother level. He decided, I'm going to make up my own message, which is just the opposite of the message Jeremiah just got done teaching the people. Not only that, but he decided he's going to put on a show for the people, claiming he had received additional revelation and information directly from God. He took it upon himself to try to influence the people. And at the time Jeremiah was proclaiming this message, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't in Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, according to history, was fighting a revolt in his own land back in the Babylonia area. So at the time Jeremiah is wearing the yoke and telling the people that they need to submit to Nebuchadnezzar, he's not in Jerusalem. His forces weren't even there. So Hananiah decides to take advantage of that moment. And what he does is he puts on quite a show for the people, claiming he's of God, when in fact he's not. What we learn when we go through this is false prophets and preachers and teachers and leaders tell people just the opposite of what's true. They oppose the true message of a true man of God, and in the end, God's going to destroy them. Now again, let's restate this. Jeremiah is wearing that yoke. They see that. He's got it. He's walking around wearing the yoke, and he's telling the people, this is illustrating the message God gave me, and the message God gave me is we need to submit to Babylon because God is going to use Babylon to punish us. He's punishing his own people. He's using Babylon to do it. And the false prophet Hananiah didn't like the message from God. He didn't like God's true prophet. So he decided to make up his own message. In fact, he doesn't even wait for Jeremiah to leave like the Galatian phony ministers did. They at least let Paul get out of town before they came in and started making up stuff. He doesn't let Jeremiah leave. He did it in front of him. Now verse 1 says, now in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, the fifth month, Hananiah, son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priest and all the people, saying. We learn from verse 1 that he too is living at the time when Zedekiah is reigning. We learn he's the son of Azur from the town of Gibeon. Now Gibeon, according to the book of Joshua, was one of those priestly cities in the tribe of Benjamin. So we would say that Hananiah was a guy who probably had pretty good standing with the people. He's a prophet, he says he is. He comes from a priestly town that was highly respected by the people. So that certainly would give him some clout. This prophet turns out to be against Jeremiah and his message, and nothing else is known about him except what we learn in this chapter. And there are a series of communications that take place here that we want to see. First of all, Hananiah speaks to Jeremiah. Notice verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I'm going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I'm also going to bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. There are 8 observations we want to make about what happens here as Hananiah speaks to Jeremiah. First of all, he spoke to Jeremiah in the temple in the presence of the priests and the people. John Calvin made an interesting observation about that, because John Calvin said, you know, if he's in the temple area, he would see the remaining sacred vessels, but that doesn't stop him from lying. That doesn't stop him from deceiving. Even though he's in a sacred place around sacred people, that doesn't stop him from doing evil. He does this out in the public. He doesn't do this privately with Jeremiah. He does it right out in front of everybody for everybody to hear. And Hananiah believed that he could convince the priest and get them to believe him when in fact he's presenting a blatant lie. Now the second observation is Hananiah said his message was from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. That's what he says in verse 2. Look at this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. I mean, just the thought that you would dare say that in the temple when God in fact didn't say that is just foolishness. He should have been there and shut his mouth. He uses the same name for God that Jeremiah used in chapter 27, verse 21. So if you're the people and you're listening to this, Here's Hananiah. He sounds so pious and true. He's standing up talking about God, the Lord God of Israel. He's using all the right verbiage, all the right speech. This is all a sham. It's all a lie. And there's a lesson we better see from this, and that is if somebody claims it's the word of God, it better be. If somebody stands up before people and says, this is the word of God, it better be the word of God. Because God doesn't play lightly with those that try to twist it or bend it. The third observation is Hananiah said, God's message is, he's broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Look at verse 2. I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Hananiah says, God has told me that Nebuchadnezzar has been broken. God has given me special revelation that while Nebuchadnezzar's been away, he's been defeated. He's revealed to me, we're now delivered from the Babylonians. So here is Jeremiah standing there wearing the yoke, telling people we need to submit ourselves to the Babylonians. And you have Hananiah in front of the same people claiming just the opposite of what Jeremiah told them. He's standing before everybody saying, God has told me the yoke is broken. Now, the fourth observation is he said in 2 years, God's going to bring back all the vessels to the temple. He even gets more graphic than that there in verse 3. Within 2 years, I'm going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house. I mean, he puts a time limit on this. He's telling people, this is what God has told me. This is what God has revealed to me. In 2 years, all the temple items are coming back. And he also said, observation number 5, in 2 years, he'll bring Jeconiah king back. So he says, not only is he going to bring the property back, he's going to bring the king back. The sixth observation is he said, in 2 years, God's going to bring all the exiles back. At the end of verse 4, I'm also going to bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon. He says, now God has revealed to me that in 2 years, he's bringing all of this stuff back to Jerusalem. He's going to bring back the temple items. He's going to bring back the king. He's going to bring back all the people who were taken in exile. I mean, these are bold-faced predictions. Bold-faced predictions that he's making here. And he's saying, this came to me from God. The seventh observation is Hananiah said, this is what the Lord declared. Look at the end of verse 4, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the Babylonians. Hananiah says, this is what the Lord declared to me. So here's Jeremiah standing in the temple wearing the yoke, telling the people we need to submit. It's God's will that we submit to the Babylonians. And here's Hananiah stepping in here out in front of all these people going, no, God has told me another message. And you're just way out there, Jeremiah. You don't know what you're talking about. And the eighth observation is Hananiah said, God's going to break the yoke of the Babylonians. That's the way he ends that in verse 4. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now, let's just say you're the average people going to church. Which message would you want to hear? You're just the average congregation. You don't know. You just happen to be down there at the temple and you got Jeremiah wearing a yoke. And he's telling you the will of God is that we submit ourselves to the Babylonians. Then you've got Hananiah, and he's standing there saying, we don't have a thing to worry about. God has already taken care of the Babylonians. We have nothing to worry about. I mean, which message would you want to hear? Even Jeremiah would have been happy if it were true, but it isn't true. Here's the deal. Hananiah's making this stuff up. He's just making this up. And he probably really feels it. I mean, somehow in his delusional brain, he actually believes this stuff, but it's all a lie. See, just because somebody feels something, just because somebody believes something, doesn't make it true. People feel all kinds of things, believe all kinds of things. It doesn't make it true. And this is one of those times when you got a guy who's at the temple sharing what's on his heart, and it's all a big, fat lie. Which brings us to the second communication. Jeremiah speaks to Hananiah. Verse 5, then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord confirm your words which you've prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Yet hear now this word, which I'm about to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of the people. The prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times prophesied against many lands and against great kingdoms of war and of calamity and of pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. When Hananiah got done with his message, Jeremiah decided to respond, and he responded the following ways. First of all, he spoke to Hananiah in the temple in the presence of the priest and the people. He was kind of forced into that. I mean, he wasn't looking for Hananiah to jump up and contradict everything he just got done saying, but that's what Hananiah did, so that kind of puts him on the spot. I don't think he liked to be in this position. I know I sure wouldn't want to be in that position. And he's in a position now where he has to kind of respond to what has been publicly stated. He had invented all these predictions in the temple before the priest and the people, so Jeremiah said, well, I've got to respond in the same way. So Jeremiah says, his second response is, Amen, if it's true. Amen, if what you're saying is true. Jeremiah's response is interesting. He said, if the Lord is really going to do what you just said, great. Truly, that is a blessing, if the Lord's going to do what you just said. Jeremiah said, I would love that if it were true. I would love it if God were to bring everything back to the temple. I would love it if God would bring all the exiles back to this place. I wish he would do that. You know, there was a guy back in 2011, you may remember this. His name was Harold Camping from Family Life Radio, who predicted the date of the rapture. He predicted that the rapture would occur on May 21, 2011. And then when it didn't happen then, he changed the date to October 21, 2011. And when it didn't happen then, he really went into depression. Family Life Radio lost assets and staff and support and revenue. It was a disaster. I will say this about Mr. Camping, who's now with the Lord. He, not long after that, went home to be with the Lord after the October date. He did say that he believed he was wrong and he had sinned in tampering with the Word of God, because the Word of God says nobody knows the day or the hour, and he said he was wrong. And the people who pointed that out to him, he said even the ministers who pointed that out to him, he said they were right and I was wrong. So you got to hand it to the guy. But here's my point of the illustration. He predicted the rapture would occur in 2011. And we go, well, amen if that's true. That'd be great. It'd be a wonderful thing if it would have happened in 2011. I mean, it'd be a wonderful thing if it happens tonight. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen at some point. So that's what Jeremiah's doing here. He's saying, okay, you're making all these grandiose claims. Well, praise God if it's true. Amen if it's all true. Which brings us to the third response. Jeremiah says, but you need to hear what I have to say. Verse 7, yet hear now this word, which I'm about to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. Jeremiah says, but before you believe this and accept this, you better listen to what I have to say about this. His fourth response says, prophets have been talking about this and these judgments for a long time. I'm not the only prophet talking about this. In other words, Jeremiah says, prophets have been making predictions that God's people were going to have trouble because they wouldn't obey God for a long time, and that there were going to be kingdoms and powers that were going to ultimately dominate them, Other prophets have talked about calamities and pestilences that God would send against his own people if they would not turn to him or his word. And in Jeremiah's time, right in Jeremiah's time, in Hananiah's time, you had Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Obadiah. So Jeremiah could literally say, you know what? I'm not the only guy who's making these predictions. There are prophets out there that are making the same predictions I'm making, telling the people of God that they are not right with God and they need to get right with God or else there's going to be the judgment of God. Then the fifth response is, we can tell, Jeremiah says, who's a true prophet sent by God. Simple little formula. If a prophet predicts something and it comes true, that's a true prophet of God. That's what he says in verse 9. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then that prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Jeremiah says, if the one prophesying has the prophecy come true, then you know that's a true prophet. That's how you tell. Prophet comes in, makes a prediction, the prediction comes true, then you know it is in fact a true prophet. So Hananiah has challenged Jeremiah. Jeremiah has responded, and now Hananiah reacts to what Jeremiah says in verses 10 to 11. Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah, the prophet, and broke it. Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. Then the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Hananiah, now get this, you got to visualize this because we're kind of just looking at this in the scripture, but he's in front of all these people. I mean, all these people are watching this. All these people are listening to this. You have the priest and the people, and they're all there watching what's going on. And Jeremiah had not really challenged him or reproved him. Jeremiah said, I hope your prophecies come true. Well, now Hananiah takes it to another level. First of all, he took Jeremiah's yoke off and he broke it. You talk about bold arrogance. Bold arrogance. God was the one who told Jeremiah, make the yoke, put it on, and wear it. Wear it for the people to see, to illustrate what exactly needs to happen to them and what's going to happen to them. And here, Hananiah makes this bold prediction. Obviously, he jumps down there where Jeremiah is, and he pulls that yoke off Jeremiah, and he breaks it. God didn't tell him to do that. God never authorized him to do that. Secondly, he said God told him he will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar in 2 years. Then, as he's doing that, he makes this announcement in verse 11. He spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so will I break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. So, he dogmatically, as he's doing this, he takes this yoke and he smashes it and breaks it. And then he says in front of all the people, the Lord has told me, he's told me in 2 years he's going to break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. H.A. Ironside made an interesting observation. He said, error is generally insistent and dogmatic. The more so, often the father is removed from the truth. Hananiah, in front of everyone, takes this dogmatic action. He took the yoke off Jeremiah, he breaks it, he makes the claim that thus says the Lord, but the truth is God was not with Hananiah in any of this. He's making this whole thing up. God was with Jeremiah. But at the end of verse 11, we read, the prophet Jeremiah went his way. You have to believe it's somewhat humiliating for him. I mean, he's just been put down publicly, and a guy has just made mockery of everything he's told the people publicly. And apparently, Jeremiah doesn't say a thing. He doesn't say a thing. But time would tell who's right in this. Which brings us to the fourth communication. Now God speaks to Jeremiah. Verse 12, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Go and speak to Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you've broken the yokes of wood, but you've made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of those nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him, and I have also given him the beasts of the field." After Hananiah had broken off the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah, and after Jeremiah had left, God came to Jeremiah and he says, "I've got some divine messages that I want you to take to Hananiah." And I don't know how much time has transpired here. I mean, I don't think he just walks out of the temple area and then all of a sudden he gets this new revelation. There could have been some time that transpired here. And during the time, Hananiah is probably walking around like a hero. I mean, he's walking around among the people and they're all slapping him on the back and praise God for you. And you just wonderful what you've told us, man. God's working in your life and he's working through you to speak to us. I mean, I can just see this guy. He's really playing this thing up. But the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And by the way, that is never said of Hananiah. The word of the Lord doesn't come to Hananiah. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. Even though Hananiah is claiming he's getting messages from God, he never got one. So God said, I want you to give him a couple of divine messages. First of all, I want you to tell Hananiah that he has broken a wooden yoke, so it's going to be replaced by iron yokes. Verse 13, you've broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. This is an important principle that we need to understand. When God is disciplining us, and God is chastising us, we're very wise if we respond to the chastisement and discipline. If we throw it off and we don't respond to it, it'll only get heavier. The chastisement will only become more weighty. Now, God can chastise his people. And if his people will respond to it, if they will submit to the word of God, if they'll submit to the discipline of God, things in life will continue to go on. But if they refuse to submit to the word of God, things will become more difficult. The burdens will become heavier. What God tells Jeremiah to tell Hananiah is, you tell him that he's busted up a yoke of wood, okay, we'll put a yoke of iron on him. It'll be weightier and heavier than he even thought. Secondly, you tell Hananiah that God has put yokes on all nations to submit to him. In verse 14, I've put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. And I also have given him the beast of the field. There is a time to resist. There's a time to submit. This was a mandate from God. And he said, you need to tell not only Hananiah that he needs to submit, but you tell the nations that all the nations are going to submit to him too, because I've turned all the power and authority over to him. Which now brings us to the final communication, and that is Jeremiah takes God's message to Hananiah. Now watch what he says in verse 15. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, "Listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. And you've made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year, you're going to die because you've counseled rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year, in the seventh month. God says to Jeremiah, you go tell Hananiah three things. You tell him, number one, Lord didn't send him. You tell him that. The Lord didn't send you. The Lord never gave you a message to tell the people. Jeremiah said, you weren't sent by God. God didn't lead you. He didn't speak through you. The stuff you were saying, you just made up. You're a lying bag of wind. You have no real spirituality. You have no real godliness. You strut around pretending like you can talk a jargon of godliness when in fact God's nowhere near you. Secondly, you've stood before the people and you've lied. And the people have believed you. You deceived the people. You've convinced the people. You've played the game and you've convinced the people that you're this godly agent when you know deep down inside that is not true. You know it's a facade. You know you're not a godly person. But you're lying to people. There are people in leadership and ministries that do that, you know. They stand before congregations and they lie to them. They tell them just the opposite of what the Word of God says. There are people who will stand in pulpits and tell people same-sex relationships are perfectly fine. There are people who will stand in pulpits and tell you the way to get to heaven is follow the law, follow the rules, and follow the codes. And the best way to worship God is we put a rock band on the pulpit, dress like bums, and play music that's sick. And they will stand before a congregation and try to convince people this is of God. It isn't of God. It's not reverent. It's not of God. It's sick. And there are ministers who stand before congregations every week and they lie to them. There are leaders who go before the people every week and lie to them. They pretend they're spiritual when they're not. They pretend they're in tune with God when they're not. They tell them their sin is okay. They tell them that if they keep the law and they follow the religion and they follow the codes, they'll end up in heaven. They are liars, just like Hananiah. And Jeremiah was told by God, you go tell him that. You tell him he's a liar. He's lied to the people. And then you tell him God's going to remove him from the earth and kill him. Verse 16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you're going to die because you've counseled rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year of the seventh month. Hananiah took a stand against Jeremiah, who was a man of God. God said, I'm going to kill you for that. I'll kill you for that. And he did. According to verse 17, two months after he made up this stuff, God killed him. Now, God doesn't usually kill somebody that fast. He usually gives a person time to get it resolved. I mean, he does do it now and then. Ananias and Sapphira, it's interesting, Hananias kind of spelled like Ananias. Ananias and Sapphira, you remember in the New Testament, they lied. They lied to the church. God killed them right then and there. So it does happen. It's rare, but it does happen. But this all happened because Hananiah wanted to be a big shot. He wanted people to think he was a spiritual giant, and he was saying things that weren't even biblically true, and God said, I've had enough of you. Now, I want to leave us tonight with some key lessons that I think are important. First of all, do not ever think more highly of yourself than you ought. That's a good lesson for every one of us. We all have skills and gifts and abilities. Don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought. That's Hananiah's problem, boy. He thought himself really something when he wasn't. Secondly, we must always obey the word of God, not the word of some man. Not the opinion of some religious person. You know, Peter said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in proper time. Thirdly, no matter how sincere one appears to be, stick to the word. I mean, if you would have been there listening to Hananiah, you'd say, well, he really believes this stuff. He's sincere in what he's teaching. He was deadly wrong. He was telling people things that weren't true. So stick to the word. You're on safe ground when you stick to the word. Fourthly, don't ever confuse your feelings or will as being the same as the Word of God. Make sure the feelings and your will are lining up with the Word of God. But don't automatically assume that your feelings or thinking is in fact the Word of God, because that may not be the case. And finally, obeying God is always that which leads to blessing. Disobeying God is always that that leads to disaster. So, the lesson to learn here is to submit to the Word of God and avoid disaster. That clearly is the truth from Jeremiah 28. Well, our time is long gone. Thanks for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.